right, we can start. For many, understanding the spirit world is really up for grabs. You know, what's in the spirit world. The Bible talks about angels, but their reality has been hijacked. You know, it's been hijacked by tradition, it's been hijacked by the media, it's been hijacked by speculation, by assumptions. Many understand what angels are, that they're spirit beings. But it's based on what they've been taught and what they've seen and how it's been presented. Today's message is called The Angelic World, Part 1. And I already know it's Part 1 because I went over the notes and it's more than that I could present today. My bad. But there's a lot to discover. The media gives us an idea about angels who has seen It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, it's every year. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. During a time of personal despair, Clarence, George Bailey's guardian angel, shows him what life would be like if he hadn't lived. But he doesn't have wings. He doesn't get his wings until he does something good. That's how media pictured it back in the 1930s. Angels in the Outfield. Anybody see that movie? Young Roger prays for a miracle to keep his family together, and only he sees angels in the baseball. And angels help a struggling baseball team, and these guys have wings, and they do all kinds of things with baseballs and the players. We can go to TV, Highway to Heaven. I've seen this one. Yeah. A probationary angel, that's how it's reported, a probationary angel is sent to Earth to help troubled people. Travels the country doing odd jobs, dispensing moral guidance and wisdom. Is that how we see angels? Then there's touched by an angel. And I kind of think people are touched, but that's a different story. Touched by an angel, angels roam the earth to bring a message of hope and God's love to people who are at personal crossroads. I mean, I can continue. That's how the media has presented, in some fashion, the angelic world. We lay down in snow and we do snow angels. I don't recommend laying down in Legos and trying that. God, that hurts. But we create snow angels. We have figurines and collectibles that present angels as infants and gentle winged people. That's not in the book. We're going to continue. A poll in 2011 by the Associated Press highlights that 77% of respondents believe that angels exist. I mean, it's pretty much accepted by the majority. But the agreement of the what and why angels exist from that point is way off the charts. Some believe that angels are gendered to match humanity, that they're male and female, and that they have wings for some reason. Some believe angels are infants with extraordinary superpowers and abilities. Some people believe angels are people who have died. Some people believe that angels are people who have died. There's a beautiful song, I listened to it this week, popularized by Jen Bostic and Donna Taggart. The title is Jealous of the Angels. And it's been sung at funerals. Part of the words are, the gal has longing for her husband. He's gone. And it's a touching song. It's beautifully done. Wonderfully impacting. You're not really gone as long as I believe. There will be another angel around the throne tonight. God must need another angel. I'm jealous of the angels around the throne tonight. Comforting and consoling words, but are they true? And I have to tell you, I'm going to stop right there. 1 Thessalonians 4, if you want truth about death, 1 Thessalonians, join me there. This has comforted me, and I believe this has comforted Angie. 1 Thessalonians 4. Angels around the throne. No, that's not right. But I have to add 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort each other with these words. The dead are not angels hanging around a throne. Even here it says the dead are asleep waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. I had to add that. Sorry. People are not angels. People are not angels. Now, people accept as true what they've heard over and over and over. What image, if I say, what does Jesus Christ look like? What image is immediately in your mind? The only image I have my entire life is a good-looking Roman with long hair. And I know that's wrong. I can't picture what Jesus Christ could have looked like. And yet we know from Isaiah he was not a good-looking guy. And we know from history and antiquities, he's about 5'1", 5'2". Not a tall Roman with glowing lip. Well, it would be nice to have some hair. That's another story. Jesus Christ was a Jew, and according to Isaiah, not very handsome. Just because something is universally believed doesn't mean it's true. It's best that we always go to God's Word to find out what's true. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about angels. The word angel is recorded in more than 450 verses in the Bible. It's mentioned in 34 books of the Bible. 71 times in the book of Revelation alone. Now, angels do exist, and they have a very different role in the work of God than most of the world suspects. The English word angel comes from a Greek word used in the original New Testament, angelos. Now, according to Loewenida, a lexicon of semantic domains, a wonderful support, the word means a supernatural being that attends upon or serves as a messenger, one of supernatural ability. This also has been translated as messenger. In Hebrew, the word is melech, or malek. And it also means messenger. Sometimes it means a deputy. It's interesting that the words have been used for a spirit being. The words have been used for a human being, both meaning messenger. We learn from the context whether it's an angel or whether it's an individual. John the Baptist was a messenger. The word melech, or the word angelos. In the Old Testament, he was identified as, I'm sending a messenger before me. The word melech was used. And it was John the Baptizer. So we have this whole world of angels, the angelic world. There's so much to cover. So let's just jump in. Angels are created beings. Without a doubt, angels are created beings. Psalms 33:6. Psalms 33. Psalms 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, and we know that this is Jesus Christ. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, the word host here is tsaba, meaning company, host, or soldiers. These are individuals, the host of heaven. These are angelic beings. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouses. That's part of the creation there. Angels are created beings. They were created to exist forever. A little forward to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. We have these as one of our hymns that we sing. Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all ye His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. They exist in spirit, and they were created to exist forever. They're not physical. There's no mortality. Doesn't mean that God can't remove them from existence. God made them. But in their current condition, they can exist forever. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Angels are created beings. Now, God challenges, remember, our friend Job, when he was going through a trial of, I keep grabbing this pen. No pen. God challenged Job. Job was having a trial of extraordinary measures. And his initial reaction was righteous. The God has given to him. God can take it away. It all belongs to God. And praise be God. The longer the trial existed, Job wanted to talk to God about the trial. Why was the trial? Job was a righteous man. He was righteous before God. God pointed Job out to our adversary. Hey, loose. Well, by then he was Satan. Satan, have you seen Job, my servant? There was nobody righteous like him. He was a righteous man. And yet God allowed trials to come upon him. Sometimes we think, well, I'm doing everything right. Why am I going through trials? Just imagine someone having a conversation about you in heaven going, oh, you could try my servant. Yeah, we won't go there. That's for another sermon. Challenged Job. But in Job's discussion, angels existed before physical creation, before what we have. Job 38, please. Wow, Fred, I went the wrong direction. Job 38. The book of Job is a wonderful study in human reaction to the world around us. I recommend a reading of it. So Job 38, verse 4. God was challenging Job, taking the wind out of Job's sails, as it were. And he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. I mean, God is mocking Job greatly. Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? They shouted for joy at its creation. The angels were there before creation, before the physical creation. So they're created beings. Now, I won't cover this today, but there are individuals, there are groups that believe Jesus Christ was a created being, because Scripture says the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord that is in context is Jesus Christ. Therefore, angels are created beings. Therefore, Jesus Christ must be created. We won't cover that, but Jesus Christ is not a created being. I mean, we can just go to John 1 immediately. John 1, 1, 2, 14. But There are groups that talk about Jesus Christ as a created being. And if you have a created being, you don't have someone who could take away the sins of the world. That's another story. Now, God's faithful and loyal angels are holy and elect. Matthew 25. We're going to bounce around from scriptures, but that's okay. Matthew 25. They have I don't know what I was going to say. Matthew 25. That's easier to go from there. And this becomes confusing for people, but we'll get to that. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, they're called holy angels, with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. When the Son of Man comes, that obviously he's talking about Jesus Christ. All the holy angels. So they're righteous before God. Anyone before God has to be righteous. You know, when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. These angels are loyal to God. These angels are faithful to God. They are called holy. There also is another term for them. They're called elect. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. They're called elect. First Timothy 5, verse 21. There's a discussion about the elders taking place. But in verse 21, he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. There was a discussion about having biased discussion about putting one person above another. But we do things without prejudice, without partiality. But he calls the elect angels. Now, these angels, the word elect means that they were chosen. They are selected as companions, likely faithful angels that serve God, and these are the ones that minister to believers. And it's interesting that it's before three witnesses. I charge you before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and before the elect angels. So he's given them the witnesses to what he was saying, that what he was saying carried great import, that they were chosen or selected to be companions. I guess it's like the guardian angels. I don't know if I got it in my notes or not. We'll get to that. Never mind. We'll get to that. So we know that angels were created before physical creation. They're created as spirit beings. We know that they're immortal and created superior to mankind. They're created superior to mankind. So, 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 10. And especially, let's see. I don't really want to like to break it in like that. Talking about false teachers. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a railing accusation against them before the Lord. They are greater in power and might than human beings, and there's no presumption that they bring a railing accusation against those who are fomenting disunity and such. Well, we know, wasn't it Michael that did not bring railing accusation against Satan rather than said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord? Yes. So angels are created in power and might much more than man. Now, we have a memory scripture, Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 3. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. I mean, when I think of creation, it's an extraordinary wonder for me. Verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man compared to what you have created? The moon, the stars, the universe, the angelic world. What is man? This puny little short live mess. What are we compared to what you've created? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. We're made a little lower than angels. We're made lower than angels. We have no power the way they do. We don't exist in spirit. We don't exist forever. But we have these created beings. And yet, tomorrow, we get to judge these created beings. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Here we have a discussion of brother taking brother to civil court and not adjudicating righteously with one another, but taking each other to court. Dare any of you, 1 Corinthians 6, dare any of you, having matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? We take our issues before God. Well, their words, you know, what the law is, I want my pound of flesh. A little Shakespeare there. I want my pound of flesh. Rather, we should look to God to adjudicate and judge between us. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? The angels which serve God, the angels which rebelled against God, are going to be judged by the saints, by us. We're made a little lower than the angels, so there's going to be a time when we will be greater than angels. It's interesting to note that even our Savior was noted that he was made less than the angels. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 5. Hebrews 2, verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. The world is not subjected to angels. It was subjected to us. We human beings were told to subdue the world. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Obviously talking about Jesus Christ. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. Jesus Christ was made human. We know from John 1 that Jesus Christ, the Word was God, is God, became a human being, made lower than the angels so that he can experience death and become our salvation. Angels were created spirit, immortal, superior to mankind. Mankind is less than the angels. Even Jesus Christ is less than the angels. And there will be a time when we become judge of angelic beings. There's a question that always pops up. Dumb question. How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? I mean, apples and oranges. There's no answer for that. It's stupid. I'm sorry, it's a flat-out stupid question. But how many angels were made? How many angels were made? How many are there? You know, it's an unknown, we don't know. But we have an idea. We have an idea. So when God created the angels, he made a few. Daniel 7. I get the British comes out of me, the British understatement. Yeah, he made a few. Daniel 7, verse 9. Daniel 7, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him, and thousands and a thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. Well, we know the books are open today because we are living in the world of those books. We have one before us. Thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000. Well, that's a whole lot of angels. That's why I said he made more than a few. Revelation 5 also confirms that we have no idea the number, but there are quite the number. Revelation 5, verse 11. Revelation 5, verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And they were saying, worthy is the Lamb. My greatest, I love this piece from Handel's Messiah. It's worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Marvelous ending to that Handel piece. But the number is huge. There's no shortage of angels in the spirit world. So, angels were created, spirit, immortal, superior to mankind, will be judged by the resurrected mankind, and there's a whole lot of them. The question has to come up, why did God create angels? What is their purpose? What is their purpose? So Hebrews 1, we started by talking about angels as being ministering spirits. That's their job. Or the word was messenger. So they are to message. They are to give messages. Angels are called ministering spirits. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Now, it's important to understand, sometimes we feel like we've had a dream and that God is talking directly to us. Well, he doesn't do that anymore, does he? It says it right here. In times past, there were prophets. In times past, there were those things. Now he speaks to us through his word. I chatted with somebody and humorously suggested that maybe they had bad potatoes for the dream that they had, because the dream didn't come from God. Where did it come from? Maybe bad potatoes. I don't know. Okay. Who being the brightness, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There was a time when Jesus Christ was below the angels, and now he is so much better than the angels. Verse 5, this helps us understand the place of angels. To which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." They're created beings that serve the Father. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says that all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. The angels are spirits and they have a different form. But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." It's interesting here to note that your throne, O God, talking about Jesus Christ, is forever and ever. He was God. They call him God. Verse 13. "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Clearly, God created the angelic world to serve God and those who will be part of his kingdom. The holy angels are sent by God to serve, to protect, to assist believers, those inheritors of salvation. These are created beings who execute God's will. Psalm 100. Told you it would be like a Bible study. Psalm 100 and 3. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 20. Yeah, there's plenty of places to go in the Bible because there's so many references. Psalm 103, verse 20. "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you minister of his who do his pleasure." They are to do whatever God says. They are created beings. They are his spirit servants to do whatever he wants. Now, it's very interesting. We go to 1 Corinthians 2 and we realize that we can understand the physical world around us because, you know, 1 Corinthians 2, as I mentioned many times, there are three spirits mentioned. The spirit of man, which gives us the intellect, the ability to think and create, blah, 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 blah. Also the spirit of the world, which we know is our adversary. We go to Revelation 12, who deceives the whole world. 1 John 5, he holds sway and emotional appeal over the entire world. Every discipline in this world is kind of deceived. Then there is God's spirit, by which we understand spiritual things. Without God's Spirit, you can't understand spiritual things. God has given us his Spirit to understand spiritual things. Guess who does not have that Spirit? Because the angels want to know what you know. Join me in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1. It's a surprise. Now remember, when Jesus Christ was talking with his disciples, I call you my friends, and because you're my friends, I'm going to tell you what's happening. He shared with them on an intimate basis. The servants of God, the angels, these immortal beings that serve, want to know what you know. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us that were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. They're learning about the plan of salvation. They want to know what you know. They want to know what God is doing through us. They're his servants, but they are not his family. We are his family. Angels want to know. They're interested in the plan of God. They're interested how it's all going to go. Ephesians 3 adds a little more to this. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Paul is talking here. He says, Ephesians 3, verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, Paul had a very humble sense of himself. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The world wants to know what we know. The brilliant, the great-minded people of this world want to know what we know. I've mentioned before having a conversation with people at work who were so distraught over things that were taking place in the world. And why aren't you upset, Fred? Well, I kind of know the answer. I know what's coming. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. What God is doing has been hidden from the world. Not everybody can understand it. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That the wisdom of God will be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. What we go through, what we're studying, is being picked up by the angelic world. They are learning as we are learning. God's wisdom is known to principalities and powers. Now, we know that where it says we have a spiritual war, and the war is against principalities and powers and powers in the air. We know that it's against our adversary. So this obviously is a reference to angelic world wanting to know what we know, wanting to enjoy what we enjoy. Hebrews 2:2, God uses angels to communicate. I've got some side notes here that I don't remember putting. I hope I'm correct. Hebrews 2:2. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. There are times when we hear something from Scripture, where we hear something from God's Word, and we need to understand it. We need to ponder it. We need to think about it. 4, verse 2. If the Word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? That it was confirmed by those who were witnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and shared with us by the book here. But here it says that angels are, that they spoke to us. They shared. Now, we actually don't know how, do we? I have another, we'll get to it, but there are times when we have entertained angels unawares. And we'll get to that. But here, they are messengers. They communicate with us. I have 1 Chronicles 21:18. I have no idea what that reference is. Let's take a peek. 1 Chronicles 21. Oh, yeah. So David is discussing the needs of the people. And verse 18 says, "Therefore the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David." The angel of the Lord told Gad to say to David. He was having a conversation with Gad. And to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. I want you to do this. And that was told by an angel to Gad. The information was passed on. The angel was a messenger, spoke directly to Gad. Gad talked to David. One of the purposes of the angels is to communicate. They are to minister. They are to do God's will, to engage in God's activities, to do God's good pleasure, whatever He pleases. That's what they were created for. And angels are used to communicate, literally to talk with us. Boy, I'm only on this page here. Yeah, I've really... Part one. Now, angels are fellow servants. They are like us. We serve God. God calls us. He calls us to be His children, but we are also to be His servants. We are to serve God. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 6. I have to admit, the more I dove into this and the more I got, unless you want to go another 3 hours, and yeah, really, I'm not even a third way through my notes. I really enjoyed this study. Revelation 19, verse 6. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready." Talking about the church. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet." John was so taken by the image of what he saw in his mind, what was being said. "And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I am your fellow servant, and the servant of your brethren." That's what he said. I am a fellow servant. Angels are fellow servants with us. A few pages over, Revelation 22, verse 8. Revelation 22, verse 8. Again, John was taken by what he was being told. The image in his mind was awesome, taking his mind. It was powerful. Verse 8, he says, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before me, the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." It's important to have the scripture in mind, because there's a group of people who worship angels. They believe, because angels are immortal, that their spirit, that they are so much greater than human beings, that they are deserving of worship. They themselves will tell you, don't do that. that they are our fellow servants. Colossians 2:18 specifically prohibits angel worship. You come up against a being or to a being who is so powerful, who helps you, who strengthens you. You want to bow down and thank them. Well, no. Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you out of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. False humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. We don't get involved with angelic worship. We don't get involved with the worship of angels. They are fellow servants of us and serving God. Now, just as a aside, there's so many references here, I'm not going to go to any. The appearance of an angel is that the human form has always been, throughout Scripture, male. It's not an infant, and it's not a woman, it's a male. They don't show up with wings. There's nothing strange about them. There's many, many scriptures about the appearance of an angel who appears before God. And because the appearance is similar and not remarkable, something, as we've already mentioned earlier, has happened. And it's happened to all of us. We may not have even known it. Hebrews 13, verse 2. This is a surprising thing. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. By some fluke, if we come across a stranger and we may be entertaining angels unaware. Now, we don't become superstitious. We are to be the way we are to everybody. We are to show love, care, concern to everyone. And anyone who is we come in contact with who is unwittingly an angel before us is going to be obeying God's law. You're not going to find some guy drunk and puffing on cigarettes, and we're going to think that person's an angel. It's not happening. God, the angels do not break God's laws. They will appear as righteous before us. But we can entertain angels unaware. They will follow God's law. Now, I have a whole list of things on physical interactions, but we're already out of time. I will give you one, though. I'll give you one. I do want to stop here. I'm going to stop here because the appearance of angels as designed by God is totally different than Hollywood, than anything that we have in our minds. And we'll get to discuss the seraphim, the cherubim, the Ophirim, and the 24 elders. I mean, there's a whole bunch. But it was up here. I kid you not. Whether it's someone that God inspired, whether it was an actual angel, I couldn't tell. I was up here a year or two ago, and it was raining. And why is the car acting funny? I'm on the road a lot. Car was acting funny. I pulled into a parking lot. I had a flat tire. Well, I know how to fix a tire because I'm getting old. So it's raining on me. I don't care. I love rain, by the way. Love rain. It's raining on me. I go to the trunk. I get out the jack and I get out the little tire thingy. And I set it in front and I started looking down at it going, okay, what's next? By that time, someone had walked up and says, I got it. Grabbed my stuff, jacked it up, took off the tire, put on the little tire, and put the broken tire in the trunk, says, later. I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he went. Was he an angel? I don't know. Could he be inspired by God? Possibly. I very much, to this day, I still appreciate him coming out of nowhere and taking care of that tire. Could I have done it? I think I could. Though it was really kind of stuck on there. And he was a big burly dude. The world of angels, we just got started. So we're going to talk about, and we will get into, Jesus Christ is not a created being. We'll get into the appearance of angels. We will get into the impact that the angelic world, the demon world can have on us. We'll get into the 24 elders. We can get into the morning stars, the sons of God. Now, the very nice discussion about the sons of God and Genesis, because one of my first questions as an elder was, did angels mate with women to make giants? Because that's what people read, and they still read it today in Genesis. And, of course, the answer is no, but we'll get into that. I'm going to stop it here at 52 minutes, and because I got a whole bunch more to go. Thank you for your time.